to a group of people and to a congregation or to whoever I'm talking to, the importance that I feel it is to have a strong faith and have a faith in God, a faith that is trusting and is willing to allow Him to take control and willing to put our lives basically into His hands. That's a tough thing for us to do, and it's a tough thing for us to express, but I hope that maybe in what I have to say this morning, in a new outline, a different way of putting it, whatever, maybe it'll be more effective than I feel some things I've done in the past have been along these lines. Faith is an important part of our lives as Christians. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That should let us know right off the bat, this is something we need to be seriously concerned about. If we're going to do it, if we're going to be Christians and the kind of people God would have us to be, we're going to have faith. Because without it, it's impossible to please Him. And I think many times what we see is we see people who we build up enough faith that causes us to take that initial step to become a Christian. We are baptized into Jesus Christ and we become a Christian. And that's faith that causes us to do that. It's faith that causes us to take that step in that direction. But then we take that step and then it's like, okay, we've made it. We're a Christian now, and we forget about the fact that faith is something that grows. It's something that we build on. It's something that we develop. And it's not something that you develop over a period of a week or 2 weeks. It's something that you have to work on for a lifetime. It's something that you have to work on and have to be developing and have to be growing in for the rest of your life if you're going to please God. And this morning, I'm not going to talk about that initial step, the initial faith that causes... Because I think just about everyone here has taken that, or the faith is there that has allowed us to do that. I want us to think about developing that faith. I want us to think about developing the kind of faith that we see described in passages in the Bible, and to think about the things that are said about us developing and growing as Christians in our faith as we grow. First of all, growing in faith. The passage I want to use is found in 2 Peter. And turn over there with me if you would. And I want us to look at the things that Peter says. He basically gives us a grocery list of things that we need to add to our faith and the way to develop our faith and to make our faith the kind of faith that God would have it to be. And that's the passage I want us to look at. Look at the things that are said. Think about it for just a few minutes. And then continue on to make some practical applications along these lines. Look at 2 Peter 1. Begin with me at verse 5. Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. He says to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. What you have is you got a list. These are things you need to be adding to your faith. Now, what does all this mean? First of all, we're to add virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. We are to be the kind of people who set high moral standards for ourselves in whatever we're doing, whether it be in our workplace, whether it be at school, whether it be among our friends as we are recreating, in the way we dress, in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the things that we do. We are to be above reproach. We are to be people who have a high moral standard that we set for ourselves. And I think we do that. We don't allow ourselves, in many cases, to get involved in the things that the world would like for us to get involved in and in the different things that they would like for us to do. But what about when we're by ourselves? What about in our minds? What about in our thoughts? What about in our attitudes that we feel towards other people? You know, it's easy to get so concerned about what other people think about us, and I may look and I go, okay, here's this group of people, or here are my friends, or here are the people, and I don't want them to think anything bad about me, so when I'm in front of them, buddy, I'm telling you what, Mama, hi. I tell you, you know, nobody's going to be able to... What about when we're by ourselves? And I think it's important for us to remember that God sees no matter what. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter who I'm with. God is watching the things that I do. And virtue is something that we have to have all the time. It's not something I have just when I'm on the job or just when I'm at school or just when I'm together with Christians or with my friends who are Christians. And it's something that I have to be obtaining and working on and growing in and developing and adding to my faith all the time. Because it could turn out that there are those here who could just fool everybody and be just considered the strongest person in the world and the best Christian and so on. But you're going to have to answer to God. I don't have to answer to anyone here. I have to answer to God for the things that I do. And He sees me when nobody else does. And we have to have high moral standards and moral excellency no matter where we are, when we are, what we're doing, because God is watching us. And He will be the one that we have to give answer to. We're to add to our virtue knowledge. Knowledge is a study of the Word of God. We need to know what God would have us to do. We need to know the things that He would, the way that He would have us to act. And to do that, we're going to have to get into the Word of God, and we're going to have to dig, and we're going to have to read for ourselves, and we're going to have to study, and we're going to have to learn. And what we run into here is we, in this area, we have those that we look up to and that we feel are, have strong knowledge and good knowledge of the Bible, and we feel like they can teach us, and certainly they can. But the point is we cannot allow them just to kind of spoon feed us with it. We've got to study for ourselves. And as we look around right now, and there is so much false teaching going on right in Limestone County among fellows that just a few years ago everybody thought of so highly, and they're just such wonderful Bible students, and now they're tearing churches apart. And the sad thing is some of the things they're teaching, if you sit down and look at the Scripture, it's easy to refute. But they're leading multitudes away with them as they go. Why is that? Because there's no knowledge of the Word of God on the part of Christians. It's because instead of getting in there and digging for ourselves and finding out for ourselves what the Word says and what God would have us to do, we're willing to sit back and allow some preacher or allow some teacher or some person that we have a lot of confidence in, we'll just sit there and just take whatever they say, not asking a whole lot of questions, and just allow it in many ways to be spoon-fed, much like a child is, and we never look into it for ourselves and see if what they're teaching is true. And what we're to be is a group of people who are studying for ourselves. I've got to grow in knowledge. I'm not to allow other people to grow in knowledge and then tell me about it. I've got to grow in knowledge. I have to grow in virtue. These are things that we have to add to our faith. I've got to add it to my faith. You have to add it to your faith. Knowledge of the Word of God. In a time like right now, it is so important. I was in Canada. Another thing that's happened in these few short weeks. I was up there for a week, and I know a lot of the teaching that's going around in this area on marriage and divorce, and have been in classes on it, and have studied it, and listened to some tapes of some. And I got to Canada, and Canada's kind of a refreshing place because in many ways they haven't been hit and bombarded with all the things that happen down here, and you can kind of. And I got up there, and one of the fellas there has gotten carried away with some of the. He was preaching in a group that in an area that needed a solid man so much, and he got carried away with a book that he had gotten and that was teaching the very things that are being taught in this area. This isn't something that's just happening here. Knowledge of the Word of God is so important. It is so important that we study for ourselves and come to our own convictions. My dad preaches on a lesson on, is your faith really yours? Is it? Is your knowledge of the Word of God really yours? Is it something you've gotten as a result of studying, or is it something you've gotten just because you've allowed other people to feed it to you? How are we doing in adding to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge? We're to add to our faith self-control, or some King James, I believe, says temperance or self-control. We are not to allow other things to control us. We're to be in control of our tempers. We're not to be the kind of people who they say, that guy's a hothead. He flies off the handle like you've never seen in your life. He's getting. We're to be in control. We're to be in control of our appetites, whether it be the things we want as far as the material things. We cannot allow other things to be in control of us. We have to control ourselves. If we allow other things to control us, we worship that thing. Our lives are ruled by that thing. The only thing we can allow our lives to be ruled by is God. And if we're not working to learn how to control our tempers and control ourselves and control the things that we like to do and allow and keep these things in subjection to us, we're missing. We're not practicing and adding to our faith and self-control. And I see little children. You never know where, grocery store, they come into work, different places. And that little kid will pitch a fit like you've never seen in your life. And I've seen parents just kind of laugh at that and think that's pretty humorous, but that child needs to be taught self-control right from the start. Temper's not an easy thing to get a hold of, but Christians have to do it. We can't allow other things to control us. We have to be practicing self-control, something that we are to add to our faith. Continuing on, patience. We need to be patient with other people. We need to be willing to work with people. And I think of this especially as I think of non-Christians, and we're trying to work with them and we're trying to teach them, and it's so easy just to, be patient. Somebody does things that just really irritate us to death, but we know that they're doing them with the best possible intent. Be patient. Be willing to work with people. Be willing to maybe put your own feelings second so that we can show patience to other people. It's easy to get so caught up in something and we want to get it done right then and right now and we don't want to have to wait and we want... We got to be patient. We got to be willing to give and willing to hold on. Something we need to add to our faith. Add virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, and patience. And we're to add our patience, godliness. And I think what godliness here, as we see it, is an awareness of God. And we talked about this a little bit at the first, aware that no matter what the situation is, we are servants of God. We have taken on the name of Christ. And we are to act like He acted. And whatever situation we're in, if we are aware of the fact that God sees what I'm doing, and no matter what, I'm a servant of His, chances are pretty good we're going to be able to get out of temptation, or we're going to find that way of escape. And when a trouble comes along, we'll be able to deal with it because we have an awareness of God. That He's our Father, that He cares about us. These are things that make for a healthy faith, that makes for a strong faith, that makes for a faith, the kind of faith that God would have us to have. It goes past the faith that we have on that initial step. That's just the start. These are things we have to add to it. And being aware of God in everything that we do. Godliness. Being a godly people. Realizing that He cares for us and He's watching. Add to that brotherly kindness. Kindness to each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're children of God. We're a family. And if we were in our families like we see here and husband and wife and children, and we just got all over each other and didn't like each other and picked on each other and hate, that wouldn't do. And yet we see churches and we see children of God and they fight and they fuss and they bicker. And they get so mad at each other they can hardly stand to be around each other. And you see one over here who maybe sits on this side of the building because so-and-so over here did something to them. They won't even talk to each other. That's not brotherly kindness. That's not the kind of faith and the kind of thing that we should be adding to our faith. That's going to tear our faith down. We need to love each other. We'll get to that in just a minute. We need to be kind to each other. We need to care about each other. We need to be watching out for each other. Because we're a family. Because we got things in common. Because we care. Because we're children of God. And our brotherly kindness, we're to add love. This is the kind of love that Christ had for the church. And the kind of love that Christ had for the church caused Him to die. He was willing to put Himself on the cross for His church. That's love. And that's the kind of love that we are to develop for each other. That's the kind of love that we are to develop for souls that are lost. That's the kind of love we're to develop for God and for Jesus Christ. It's a love that gives and that sees no wrong. And sometime read 1 Corinthians 13 and see, that's the kind of love that we're to develop. That's the kind of love that we're to add to our faith. how are we doing? And you look at these different things, and I think that sometimes we kind of look at this, and some I've heard look at this is like stepping stones. First you had virtue, and then you add knowledge, and then self-control, and then patience. But this is stuff that we need to be adding, all of these things at the same time. And think about it. If we were, let's say we feel like we've obtained virtue, and then we come to knowledge. Folks, I don't think we'll ever come to a full knowledge of the Word of God. These are things we're to be growing in, things we're to be adding to our faith and working on and striving daily and making a conscientious effort to see how we're doing. Adding to our faith these different things is so important. If we're going to be the kind of people God would have us to be, and if we're going to be the kind of Christians we ought to be, we're going to have to do it. And we can. Now, what's going to come of this? What's going to be the result of all this? What's this kind of a faith going to lead us to? Let me mention just a few things. I've written down a few. This kind of faith is the kind of faith that's going to lead us to pray. And I have some things I wanted to say about this, but I'm going to wait until tonight. But let's just look at a couple of verses. We're singing this evening, and Wayne told me this morning that we're going to be singing about prayer and thinking about prayer. And at that time, I wanted to go a little bit deeper into this and present some extra thoughts. But turn, if you would, to James, the 5th chapter. Let's just read a couple of verses here. James 5, look at verses 15 and 16. James 5 and verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if you've committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Think about that. If we pray, and if we have the kind of faith that would cause us to pray the way we ought to pray, great things can happen. It's amazing to see the things that can happen if we could learn to pray with the kind of faith that we ought to pray with. Let's talk more about that tonight. Look at one more verse along these lines. Turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, we'll read verses 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it'll be done. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive." That's a promise by Jesus Christ. Is our faith strong enough to cause us to pray? Do we really believe that when Jesus says that whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive? Do we have the faith enough to believe that? Truly believe it? Faith enough to act on it? What do you think? Again, I want us to hit on some more on that tonight. This kind of faith is the faith that's going to cause us to teach. Again, let's go to some verses. This time to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The writer says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Do we believe that the word of God has that kind of power? Do we believe that the things that we have contained in the Bible, the words of God, have that kind of power on people? That if we will simply present to them the Word of God in its simplicity and in its truth, that it'll cause them to change. It'll make them do something. Do we have faith in that? Look back to the book of Matthew again. This time go to the 28th. The 28th chapter. Matthew 28, look at verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, as we go about teaching, He'll be with us. We've got something that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword to teach with, and we've got Jesus Christ Himself to be with us. You have faith that the things that He says He will do and that the things He says the Scriptures can do if presented to a lost soul, do you really believe deep down that it'll do it? The reason we don't teach, the reason we don't pray like we should is because of our faith. It's because we haven't built on our faith and because we haven't developed that faith to a point where it's strong and vibrant and the kind of faith that God would have it to be. It's a job. It takes work. But this is the kind of thing that that faith can produce. This kind of faith is the kind of faith that can deal with adversity. I've talked to several people lately. A child dies. Some wonderful person is taken at a very young age, and maybe children are left in just tragic, tragic, tragic situations. And the immediate question is, why did God do this to me? The reason we ask those questions is because of a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in Him and in the fact that He will do what's best for us. Look, again, let's go to the Scripture. Turn to Romans 8 this time. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Turn over to the book of Luke. Go to Luke, the 12th chapter. I want to read verses 5 through 7. Luke 12, beginning at verse 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Do we believe these passages? When adversity comes, when trouble comes, when difficulties enter our lives, do we believe that all things work together for good to those who love God? Do we have the kind of faith that we can accept those things in our life and continue on and never allowing that to shake us and to cause us to question whether we should truly be believing in God? Do we believe that He cares for us? That He loves us? Do we have that kind of a faith? This kind of faith is going to cause us to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the teaching of the Scripture. You get in situations at work and we have a large, wide variety of different kind of people who work in the business where I work in. And we'll get in discussions about things like abortion and is abortion right? And let's say you're on the job and this discussion comes up, or homosexuality or different things that are issues today that are very, very real and things that people are talking about. And we sit there and the discussion may be, well, homosexuals, they just can't help the way they are, and it's, you know, that's just an alternate lifestyle, and this kind of talk is going on, and we just sit there and never say anything? And or do we have the kind of faith in God to stand up for what He says about that and say homosexuality is wrong? It's a sin, and those who practice such things are going to hell. Do we have the kind of faith to stand up and stand for the things that God says are true? When there's a discussion on abortion, do we just kind of sit back and listen and never express the way we feel the Bible teaches about that? It's tough. It is not easy to stand up and say, that's wrong, that's not right. And yeah, everybody's doing it, and so on, but that's not the way we should act. Or somebody's telling about the party they had on the weekend. Or they ask you to go somewhere that you just know you shouldn't go, and instead of saying, I think it's wrong for people to go to places like that, and go, well, I'm busy, not I really. I just,
I just can't do that. I just got too much to do. That's copping out.
Do we have the kind of faith that it's going to take to stand up for what we believe? We're going to have the kind of faith to take to pray and to teach and to deal with adversity. That's what this kind of faith will produce in us. It'll produce people who are true servants of God, people who are striving to serve Him no matter what. Now, what's the result? The result of this is, first of all, if we could ever develop in ourselves the kind of faith that we ought to have, the kind of faith that is described in 2 Peter 1, it's going to bring power to us. And it's power that comes through God. There are a couple of passages here that I just really love. Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Jesus has already talked about the kind of faith that can remove mountains, and I see some of that in Hebrews 11. But the passage that I want to read is verses 30 through 40. And what we have in Hebrews 11 are basically ordinary people. People just like us who, because of the kind of strength of faith that they have, did some incredible things. And I read verses 30 through 40 and I never cease to be amazed. Listen to this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, listen to this stuff, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Think about that stuff. These guys did some incredible things. And they didn't do it by their own power and because of their dependence on themselves. They did it because they depended on God to help them. They did it through faith. Faith is the most powerful thing that we can have in our lives. If we will develop the kind of faith that we've talked about this morning, there's no telling what we can do in this world. We can overcome the greatest obstacles. It doesn't matter what happens because we have the faith in God that He'll help us through it. And He will. That's the kind of power faith can have in Hebrews 11. Let's look at one more. Look at 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Listen to this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. When we sing the song, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, that's coming straight from the Scripture. That's the kind of power faith can have. That's the kind of power faith can bring to us, and God working through us can perform things that we never dreamed possible. But it's because we're putting ourselves in His hands, allowing Him to control our lives, and being in full and total subjection to what He would have us to do. That's when our faith will mature. And of course, the end result, one is power through God, the second one is salvation. Just one verse, turn to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. 1 Peter 1, look at verses 6 through 9. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Folks, if we will strive to develop in ourselves the kind of faith that
we should have, and if we will allow God to work in our lives, and if we will allow Him to take control and submit ourselves to Him fully, I tell you, the world and the things we face would become so much easier. It's when we depend on ourselves, depend on our own ability to get ourselves out of difficult situations, that we're going to run into all kinds of trouble. God will help you out of any situation you get into. The first step in becoming a Christian, just the first step, but a whole lot more. Faith is something that grows and develops and matures over the course of a lifetime. And the trials we face and the temptations that we face and we overcome just serve to build it and make it grow and make it develop. And the end of that kind of faith is salvation. The end of that kind of faith is a home in heaven. Life eternal with God and Jesus Christ around His throne. That's what the kind of faith we talked about this morning will lead us to. Now, question comes, how am I doing? I can look around and I may see Brother Boylton or Brother Broly or Chris or Wayne or whoever and say, boy, I tell you what, they're doing great and faithful brethren. And I go to the same congregation today, and it doesn't matter. Because I have to answer for my faith. I have to answer for what I've done. And how I'm developing. And you're going to have to answer for yourself. How are we doing? Are we developing, or are we taking that initial step and kind of stopped? Are we adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love? Are we adding, are we really working to add those things? Are we developing the kind of faith God would have to ask the question? If you haven't taken that initial step, faith is something that produces action. If faith is not producing action, it's found in James 2. If faith is not producing action, then it's a dead faith. Could be that those here this morning were dead. And if so, you need to liven yourself up and come back to God and ask Him to help you and start to grow in faith and knowledge. And if you've never taken that first step, in becoming a Christian, that's the first act of faith. Believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing the faith that you have in Him, and being baptized, and those sins will be forgiven. And then it's a lifelong commitment to developing that faith and serving God. But it's the happiest life a person can have, and it's a life that faith ends in salvation. And what a wonderful end that is. And if there are those here this morning who you that need to respond that first time, I know there are those here who do, and there may be those here who need to recommit themselves and get back on track and get going and developing the kind of faith that you want to have. There's no time like the present, because we don't know if we'll have any more. And if you need to respond this morning, please come and do it right now while together we stand up tomorrow.
Here, that's waiting for